You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Today, on the Word of Truth Revealed.
The Lord sparked this, that the first touch you ever received was when you got saved. And you should be drawn to that old rugged cross, because something happened when you got saved that was never duplicated. The joy that floods your soul when you met Jesus, crying and don't know why. Everybody else partying, but you got another beat now. I can't do that. I got to get to the house of God.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, The Silent Servant. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 34.
And so I still went to church, but I was hiding what? The hole. And a man saw that I had an issue, and he came along and he brought me some pair of pants and he gave them to me. He said, see if this fits you. Now, I will say I was 14 or 15. He may have been 19 or 20. But he saw the hole that I was trying to what? Hide. So he brought me a pair of pants, which was good. I put them on and they fit me. And I thanked him for being kind. But when I stepped out in public, he embarrassed me. Now, I'm not telling you this because maybe some of you can identify with it. Not for you to get mad and say, that's why. I want you to learn something from it. When I stepped out in public, he stepped out and said, look what I gave him. He had a hole in his stuff. So he used me as a mascot. Put himself in the equation to let everybody know what he did. I'd already thanked him and I was grateful. And I vowed within myself that I was going to do the same thing for him or somebody else in my life. And believe me, I've helped a whole lot of people that got holes in their stuff. Way more than he could ever imagine. Instead of getting angry forever, I allowed it to become fuel to push me into a new level of service. Where I've done things for people that nobody else would ever know. Y'all listening to what I'm saying? So instead of getting angry, you got to let it push you to purpose. For a young man to have another person embarrass you like that, I can't really describe how that felt, but it wasn't right. I wasn't angry with him, I was embarrassed. Another word for embarrassment is abashed. I was abashed by his movement. It made me drop my head and put my hand in my pocket. But when I did, I realized it was his pants, and I snatched them out. And now the inside of my pocket is hanging out. And it was still off. I pushed the pants back in, then I crossed my hands. And I shut my mouth because that's how I was trained. And it messed with me for several years. Even when I became 20 and I saw him. Now I'm a man like he is. And he's weakened as I'm beginning stronger. And I was tempted to say something to him that would embarrass him because my knowledge had expanded. But God shut my mouth and said, you will be worse than him because you've grown. He didn't know. He was ignorant. And he took me to a passage of scripture later on in my life. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And because I've graced you with knowledge and understanding, and I've expanded your mind, I'm holding you responsible. Because you're way bigger than he ever was. Now you must deal with what you feel and process it right so you can help others. I said all of that to show you we must be selfless if we're going to be a good silent servant. Because believe me, everything in you will want to let everybody know what you did. Especially when it happened to you. And hurting people hurt people. People who've been hurt, if you're not healed, you will hurt others. Even when you say you won't, I'm telling you, you will. Your attitude is off. And you got to let God correct it. Ooh, Jesus, help me. Help strangers. Help strangers. To be able to help a stranger, not a brother, not a family member. He helped a stranger. Distressed. This whole theme about the silent servant comes from a biblical parable that I share with you out of Luke chapter 10. And I recommend that you read the whole book as Luke writes to the great Theophilus. He's only writing to one person, which I believe had a tie with Greeks. But the physician is writing about certain parables that Jesus laid out. The aid that comes to the beaten one. Like we give aid to the beaten ones in our community. Legally, the Samaritan, the laws protected by standards, actually comes against those of us that want to help people. You can try to help somebody today and they'll sue you. But there's a good Samaritan law that says if you're helping someone, you can find safety in the law. In other words, if you're in shark-infested waters and I snatch you out and I happen to fracture your arm as I'm snatching you out, instead of you trying to sue me, you should say thank you. But this is how morbid our people are. Falling in the store. I saw a man, it was a black man too, standing on a step and he didn't want to go to work, so he just fell off the step. Then he called the job. I fell. But they got a video of him. He tried to fall. Man, go to work, man. If you got a legitimate fall, we're going to help you. He's standing on the steps, man. There's a rail right there. He looked around. He crashed out. And there are good Samaritan laws that have been put on the books now. If you see somebody in need, you can help them without fear of a lawsuit. And if I was in shark-infested waters and you snatched me out and you my arm with this joint, it's better than getting my arm chewed up. This is how we handle church people. You in the church and somebody snatching you out and you get a little bruised. You get your feelings hurting. But instead of you seeing the whole purpose of the church, you focus on what they did, what they said. But you in shark-infested waters. You got your feelings hurt because I came direct? You in shark-infested waters. It's desperate. For the rest of you all that get upset with church folk, don't go to the emergency room now. Because those people got to deal with you. They didn't cause it. They didn't cause the problem, but you show up, right? And sometimes they got to tell you to sit for a moment. And sometimes there's no room for you. Sometimes they got to tell you got to get in the wheelchair. Sometimes, do you have your card? Did you get your feelings hurt? You still stay there because you have a need. But when it comes to church, the flesh wars against the spirit. first usher say the wrong thing, you want to go off and fight. I can't even preach because I got to tiptoe to the tulip so I don't offend you. But I'm here to help you. Lay down on this table and let me put something in your vein to put you out so I can do surgery. Because you talk too much. Oh, my God. Who said ouch? Who said ouch? Who said ouch? That girl said ouch. You got to let me put you to sleep first, right? My God. I won't do surgery if you're awake. I won't. Man, I had to have a procedure one time, and the anesthesiologist came in, and he says, you know, I'm going to give you, you got to put you under. And I said, oh, I'm going to fight it. And he said, well, I don't think you're going to win this battle. I said, well, how many people have ever won this battle? He said, none. I said, I'm going to fight it. He said, okay, when I start putting it in, you can fight it. I said, okay. So I said, tell me. He said, well, I'm starting to do it now. I said, five, four. I tried. Touch them and say, you can't fight the Holy Ghost. You can't fight. You can't fight it. You can try to, you can't kick against the prick. You'll never win. Have you ever intentionally met a need? Have you ever taken yourself out and intentionally met a need and walked away without saying anything? Physically, mentally? Have you ever made sure somebody's well-being was taken care of? Oh, my God. The scripture doesn't even record the response of the man that was healed by the Good Samaritan. It only shows the action of the Samaritan. Because sometimes we won't get the response that we're looking for. Touch the name and say, do what you do as unto the Lord. Right. That's why when you help people, you got to do it as unto the Lord. There's a key passage of scripture that flows with this. Out of Isaiah 49. In other words, the scriptures that I'm going to give you tie in with the message that I'm preaching. Isaiah 49 and 16. See, I have engraved you on my palm, the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. This demonstrates something about the power of God and his heart for you. God says, I tattooed your name on my palms. And I want you to think about that when you start dealing with God's hand. He touched me. Not only has he touched you, but he's got your name on his palm. See, this is how you need to start thinking when you're alone. You got to know what the scripture says. And this is going to help you when it comes to, he touched me. Because we're about to experience divine encounters. God is about to show up in dreams and visions and practical things intentionally. Some of you are going to run into blessing this week. A blessing is coming this week. I'm trying to tell you, God's trying to get something to you. And you're just one praise away from your breakthrough. I still can't get people to praise. I say you're just one praise away from your breakthrough. He's got your name in his palm. Start thinking that. Start thinking that. Start thinking about somebody that tattoos your name on their body. That would signify that they're thinking about you, right? But they're not the first to do it. The first to do it is God. To put your name in the palm of his hand. Psalm 139 and 10. This is going to help you. Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall what? Shall hold me. Now this is not just a brief church hug. This is an embrace. God says, I'm about to grab you, hug you, but hold on to you. Kind of hug. Where you feel like you belong. Some people only one hug away from feeling like they connect. You just got to be careful with the church hugs because people can't handle full bodies. It used to be a time where you can do a full body hug in church, but now, man, my God. Man, they all up on me, man, my God. Or the woman think every man that hold your hand is trying to get to you. Every man that look at you, they will, oh my God, they want some of this. Yeah, they want some of this. This stuff potent. My God. We can't hug you in church? And we got some wretched men. Wretched. They can't get nothing in the street, so they come to the church and surf through it. Look at all of them. God, man, I can imagine you. Oh, my God. Wretched. Touch them and say, no church hug, no church hug. Ain't no church hugs at Truth Revealed. Shake a hand, press a palm, kiss a baby. Ain't no holy kisses here. Ain't no such thing as a holy kiss in the 21st century. Mwah. Man, he used to make us to kiss your neighbor. The Bible said, give a salute your brother with a holy kiss. Ain't no holy kisses. Ain't no holy kisses. That holy kiss go a long way. They kiss me on the cheek. Oh, God, I'm not going to wash it. Oh, y'all gone, man. I pastored a 21st century church. What Paul did in the first century won't work the 21st century. Oh, God, help me. Some of y'all too tight to be hugging anyway. Firm. Man, them men, they can't handle it. They can't handle it. You know it. That's why you let them hug you. You know what they're going to do when they walk. They almost stumbling. Stop it. Yeah. I've been pastoring a long time. I know what I'm talking about. Isaiah 40. Come on, let's get back to the word. Come on. God's going to hug you, not me, God. God is going to hug you. This is what he's saying. I'm going to embrace you. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Look at it. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Tie that in with Psalm 23, and you'll see the love measure of the shepherd's love. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. We take Psalm 23 and we say, I pray Psalm 23 with a t-shirt that was designed by Elder Brown. We took that and processed it. You can pick up a t-shirt at Truth Reveal that says, I pray Psalm 23. But you got to tie in Isaiah 40 and verse 11 to that to get the whole scope of the shepherd's love. He tends his flock like a shepherd. But look what he does. He gathers them, or the lambs, the inexperienced, in his arms. I have to be able as a pastor to deal with people that haven't been with our church for 30 years. In God's eyes, as it relates to this ministry, they're still lambs. Sometimes they stray. Sometimes they don't get it. Sometimes they don't understand it. And they need a little extra time. Notice he gathers them in his arms, carries them close to his heart. That's what God does. With his hand, he pulls you out or rescues you from a rut, gathers you in his arm, and puts you close to his heartbeat. Even our logos in our church is always over the heart. You say, well, you didn't notice that. Well, I'm telling you now. The logo is placed over your heart. Why? Because it should be close to it. It's not just the logo. We want you to think about the ministry and let it go deeper. But you just like the fashion. Everything you see has a purpose. God, and you should have God tattooed on your heart. There's a song that kind of sparked this whole teaching called Cross Alone. It's written by L. Spencer Smith. I would recommend that you read it, that you listen to it. I have the lyrics. An altar built, a table spread, a tree that grew, a life was spared. Between two thorns, justice placed, blood of the world, blood for the world, amazing grace. Oh, how I draw to the cross alone. The place where mercy and sin atone. The place where my sins met their end. Everything is changed there. The cross alone. Now new life begins there. The cross alone. A rugged plate or rugged piece of justice took. A carpenter, a Christ that would. Give up his life in exchange for a world so lost to claim his name. Oh, how I'm drawn to the cross alone, a place where mercy and sin atone, the place where my sins met their end. Everything changed there, the cross alone. New life begins there, the cross alone. There's a place in eternity where the love of God met humanity on a hill called Golgotha. He bled up upon a cross, a tree, and there he made the sacrifice just for you and me. Oh, how I'm drawn to the cross alone. It's a beautiful song. And as that song reverberates in my soul on Sunday morning, the Lord sparked this, that the first touch you ever received was when you got saved. And you should be drawn to that old rugged cross. Because something happened when you got saved that was never duplicated. The joy that floods your soul when you met Jesus, crying and don't know why. Everybody else partying, but you got another beat now. I can't do that. I got to get to the house of God. You associated with people that God wanted you to be around so he can pour into you. The word was nigh thee, even in your mouth. You always participated in worship, never in the foyer, never in the back of the church while preaching is going on, never in conversations, never send an email and text to girlfriends or boyfriends, but always submitting oneself to the house of God and his authority. And then something happened. And we begin to draw back from our first love. But God told me to tell you he's about to touch you again. The first touch was for your salvation and for the cross. But he's about to touch you again with a metamorphosis that will take place just like the first, but even greater. He will be closer to you than you've ever, ever experienced before. And he told me to prophesy to you that he's going to touch you. He touched me. And oh, he touched me. Yes, and oh, what joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and he
made me whole.
Can you sing with us one more time?
He touched me.
Somebody needs a touch from God.
Something happened.
And now
I know he touched me and he made me whole.
Something happened. Is broken and God is going to fix it and make you whole. Can you give him a praise? You're just one praise away from your breakthrough.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, The Silent Servant, visit the media section on the Truth Reveal app or our website at www.truthreveal.org.
We invite you to join us for a joyous celebration of 31 years of steadfast faith and serving with unwavering devotion. Don't miss this opportunity to celebrate with us on Sunday, March 29th at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. to experience inspiring services featuring heartfelt reflections on our global impact and the lives transformed over the past 3 decades. Help us honor this milestone and become a part of our legacy. March is Women History Month, and the 2026 theme, Leading the Change, Women Shaping a Sustainable Future, celebrates the contributions of women who are leading sustainability efforts across environmental, economic, educational, and social justice movements.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.